Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
All right, welcome back, family. If you've just joined us, this is Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, and you are listening to the Mid-Morning Empowerment. Now, a few weeks ago, we started this conversation on adoption with our guest, Rumbi Winya, who's joining us once again to speak to us more about adoption and giving us the ins and outs about the procedure. So, Rumbi, welcome back to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Bongi.
Now, adoption is the legal act of permanently placing a child with a parent or parents other than the child's biological parents. The process can get complex, long, and draining, and it's not as simple as the movies often make it out to be. So it's very important that we understand what the procedure entails so that those considering growing their family in this way can prepare for what can be a time-consuming and frustrating process. So, Rumbi, when we're speaking about adoption here and who actually gets to qualify, who actually gets to adopt a child, who are we talking about here? Who can qualify to apply for adopting a child?
Thank you so much, Bongi, for the question. In terms of who can qualify to adopt, anyone by the above the age of 18 can qualify, but we do have specifics that we'll be looking at.
Okay.
And that will go against the checking of your records. If you have a criminal record against any child,
mm-hmm.
or if you have any offense against any child, if you've got had an offense previously, all those things are checked in order for you to qualify to say you can now adopt a child. Remember, we are doing this in the best interest of the child.
Right.
If we do not do the checkups to see the background, then we are maybe in the future endangering the child, depending on where the person would have done. So anyone by the over the age of 18 can qualify, but there are specifics, there are screenings that are done in order for you to qualify to say you are fit to adopt.
And so now when we're talking about adopting a child, especially one who, you know, whose identity is known. Last time we spoke, you talked about those situations where we don't even know who this child belongs to. The child has just been left at, you know, at a church or at the doorstep of a fire station, things like that, where we really have no idea. A child has just been abandoned and no one knows who it belongs to. But in these other instances where maybe we might know who the parent is, or we might know at least the family that the child belongs to originally, who then gives consent to an adoption in such a case?
All right, thank you so much. Adoption consent in circumstances where the child is known, the mother, the biological mother of the child, consents to the adoption. The biological father of the child consents to the adoption. So in most cases, for instance, maybe the father is whereabouts is unknown, we do place an advert whereby we look for any relatives, anyone from the family who may come forth maybe to say that this is our child.
Mm-hmm.
But legally, it's the mother or the father who are there to sign consent for the child.
Mm.
This also applies to step-parent adoptions. It's either the father who also signs, or it's either the mother who signs. In the case that there is a divorce and the mother decides to remarry,
mm-hmm.
the stepfather, the father of the child also has to sign for the consent. Or in some instances, if the child is above the age of 10, that mm-hmm. child again must consent at court that I am willing for so and so to adopt me.
Interesting. I had not thought about it in that way, in terms of, you know, a step-parent adoption. I guess in my head, I just assumed that it's just an automatic thing. Once someone, you know, once your parent gets married, their spouse becomes your step-parent, and that's that. It's official. I didn't realize that they also have to go through a procedure of adoption.
Yes, they can go through a procedure of adoptions. It's only that many times we won't be having all this knowledge of saying step-parent adoption is also encouraged.
Yes.
Same applies to family adoption is also encouraged in the event that maybe a brother dies and left the will the child in the care of the maternal or the auntie or the uncle.
Mm-hmm.
They can also adopt the child. So it's all round, as long as it only involves that we need to legalize it. Yeah.
Right, right. Okay. And what is the importance of legalizing it?
All right, the importance of legalizing, you know, with the child trafficking that is happening, we really need to legalize each and every placement, be it adoptions, be it removing a child and placing the child to a place of safety while we are working towards adoptions. With the court needs to monitor what is happening with that child on a monthly basis. What is the progress that you are doing in terms of the child's well-being? Are you finding a family for the child? So it's like a procedures that you need to follow for the child to be adopted. We need to follow the right legal procedure.
Right. Okay. And then once consent for adoption has been given, can it be withdrawn? Is a parent, is it so binding that you can't change your mind?
All right, this is what happens when a consent is signed. So everything, like I said the last time, it happens at the children's court. So we go to the children's court, whoever signs the consent assigns the consent, but they are counseled first before they can consent. They need to go through an option counseling whereby we even explain to the parents that there is foster care, there is kinsmen, all those are types of counseling. But if the mother decides or the parents decide to say, I want to go for adoptions, this is what I want, they are explained that their parental rights and responsibilities will be terminated once the child becomes adoptable or once the child is adopted. And also, in that instance, the mother also have 60 days to withdraw the consent after the signing of consent. So there is a period that is given to say, okay, yes, I have signed my consent today, but when I get home, you know, maybe things changed on a daily basis. Yeah. Maybe it was because of poverty or because you didn't have a stable environment or place to stay or whatever circumstances. You may withdraw the court to at the consent, you come to court and state in front of the magistrate, like what we did with the consent, and you do the withdrawal to say, my circumstances have changed. Maybe there's family member who are willing to assist me, and I would like my consent to be withdrawn. So indeed, yes, consent can be withdrawn within the 60 days of signing it. And then we do, for instance, the 60 days have lapsed and the consent haven't been withdrawn. And then you find the parents will come after about maybe 9 months, and the child is not yet adopted. Yes, we can also look into that to look what is in the best interest of the child, which is family. The immediate family is the ones that you consider. So again, we take it to court and advocate for the child in front of the magistrate to say, yes, the 60 days have lasted, but things have changed. And we are saying family integration is the most important one. And we really want to reintegrate this family back together.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. Now, are there any situations where consent is not needed?
Consent is needed, but there are certain circumstances where consent is not needed. For instance, if one of the parents is mentally disturbed, you know, we have people who are mentally challenged, but they need to be a psychological report to address that, to prove that the mother is not in a position to sign consent.
Okay.
Other than that, consent is needed throughout.
Okay. And so now, having said all of that, what is the procedure like? What is the adoption procedure? Where do we start? If there's a couple out there that is interested in going this route, what's the first step?
All right, this is the first step. First of all, you have to look for a registered, whether NPO or Department of Social Development, if you're in the Republic of South Africa, look for an NPO, NGO that are accredited. Please note that are accredited to do adoptions. We do have bogus organizations that are there, that they say they do adoptions, yet they are not into adoptions. And we also have private social workers who are also accredited to do adoptions. So you need to look for those people. And then after that, they will take you through the process. Adoption is not a one-day thing, it's not a two-month-day thing. It's a process, like I said in the beginning, that one needs to be screened in order for us to see that this is the best this, we are doing this for the best interest of the child. Where we are taking the child's life will not be endangered. So the procedure is looking for an MPO. Like I said, I work at MPLO in Johannesburg. We are dealing with adoptions. So if you are willing, we can contact us and then we can assist you on the way forward on how to do it. But whatever that involves adoption, anything that involves adoption has to go through the court, like I've always said. Mm-hmm. So if the procedure is not going through the court, the children's court, know that that procedure is wrong. An accredited social worker will be accredited social worker, adoption social worker will be appointed to you, the one who's going to work with you through the screening, making sure there are no criminal records, making sure all the court proceedings are followed, mm-hmm. and up until the child is adopted. Yeah.
Okay. And now suppose someone applies and they're not successful. Someone tries to, you know, applies to adopt and they're not successful. Is that the end, or is there a way that they can reapply later at another stage?
That's not the end. You can do reapply at a later stage. You know, like I said, things change on a daily basis.
Right.
Maybe the circumstances that you had applied with, let's take for instance, maybe you had a criminal record. You had a criminal record, and you know, after 5-6 years, that criminal record is removed from the database.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can come, but you have to be clean with us to say, I once had a criminal record, and
okay.
we check what the criminal record was
okay.
before we can do any other thing. And then in the event that maybe you had come forward saying you want to adopt, but then maybe you do went for the VIF and then you had other procedures and maybe you got pregnant, but in the process, let's say you lost the pregnancy,
yeah.
and then you come back again and say, I think I have decided that I'm no longer going through the IVF process. I've exhausted all the other fertility clinics in order for me to conceive. I think I am ready to go with adoptions. We can also assist you.
Mm-hmm.
What we cannot do is running those things concurrently, trying for IVF and also trying for adoption, it will not work like that. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. That's interesting. So any final words that you'd like to share, advice or tips that you can share with anyone who might be considering this with regards to the procedure and what to expect?
Okay. I would like to say to people, whoever is listening there, there are lots, thousands of children that are abandoned yearly in South Africa.
Mm.
And those children are in need of their forever homes. And if there are people and couples, singles, any other person who is willing to go through the route of adopting a child, please go forward. Don't hesitate. Don't procrastinate.
Mm.
Go for it, because you are helping a child who is in need of protection. That child can be something tomorrow. And, you know, we say this young generation are the future of tomorrow. So I would say go for it. And more so, you know, the Bible encourages us also to look out for the children. You know, children are a gift that comes from the Lord.
Amen.
Despite the fact that you received your gift, God is going to bless that gift if you are only willing. It takes a willing heart. It takes a willing soul to go through the route of adoption.
Amen. Amen. Rumbi, thank you so much for coming through with more insights. And we'll be looking out on our WhatsApp lines. Any questions that might come through, we will get back in touch with you with regards to this. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Wanyi.
Family, that was Sister Rumbi Winya, who's been speaking to us about adoption, and very interesting information that she's been sharing there. Remember, as she said, the Bible also encourages us to take care of the vulnerable in our society. So this is a noble option. If you have the means, if you have the heart for it, this is a noble option to consider. So do think about it and see if there's a way that you can serve the community in this way and give a child a forever home. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.